Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shellcutters Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lowly design witch, the fascination of fourth year, my wonderful co-host, and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Einen wunderschönen guten Tag. We're so happy that you're here. Come in, make yourself at home in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. This is episode number 75 of Shell Cottage Radio, and this week we talk about chapter 18 of Harry Potter and the Prison of Azkaban, Moony, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs. As usual, we'll start with our cottage catch-up, train for future trivia nights, and do our best to learn more about magical and fantastic beasts.
How are you?
I promise a better transition next time. Because last time was kind of awkward, not going to lie.
It's so cute, though.
It's one of those things that you got to learn as a podcaster, how to have good transitions.
You do. Actually, a lot of times you do. You typically have a question or a thing. And today I want to tell you, so as you read the chapter that we're about to go into, and you were like, read it for me. What chapter are we covering again? The name of it again. It is what now?
Moony, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs.
Right. So going into saving it, the file on StreamYard, like I title stuff, right? I titled it Prongs, Wormtail, Moony, and Padfoot.
How dare you?
I was close. Okay, I was close.
Well, that's clearly our priorities because you like the stag. I like Moony, so.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, well, you were going by the actual title of the chapter.
So. Yeah, I was.
Smart.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, so in the cottage catch-up.
Yeah.
Welcome to our cottage, friends.
Yes.
Here we be. It is freezing.
Yes.
Outside. It is an actual blizzard in certain parts of the country.
It's a blizzard at the outskirts, on the outskirts of Tinworth.
Yes.
So, we're trying to stay warm. We're lucky our power is still on. Everything's fine. And really, I had such a good day today. It was a Sunday and it's, you know, the Sunday before Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
So that Sunday feels so much different than any other Sunday, because you feel like, yeah, tomorrow is another day where we can just go about our day and you know, do the things we want to do.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
And we don't have to get up at 4:50 in the morning. That's also a factor.
Yeah, and I think the thing, there's a, what are they called? I don't know, it's like some sort of polar vortex. I don't know if that's what this is, but it's essentially going to be close to like negative degrees?
Yes.
Or negative wind chill, I think.
Fahrenheit. So super cold if you translate it to Celsius. It's everything that gets close to 0 degrees in Fahrenheit is very, very cold. It's already in the minus or negative tens.
Wouldn't it be great if our
in Celsius.
On Tuesday, if our superintendent for our district woke up and accidentally read the temperature in Celsius?
Oh, goodness.
And thought it was Fahrenheit. School is canceled, you guys.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yes.
Because wouldn't it be like super low?
Yes.
Right. They'd be thinking it's like Fahrenheit and they'd be like negative 30.
Yeah, I know.
Like, okay, shut her down.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just us. You know, I always say feel guilty because then like people are like, well, I got to go to work as what's up with you? You know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. But I do hope everyone is out there. Actually, Kayla posted a really funny kind of story, and it was they were shoveling out her driveway or something, and I guess like, you know, the plow truck comes down the road, they have a ton of snow, and the neighbors had like pushed all their snow out into the road, and the plow truck just took it right on down in front of her driveway, so like they took all that snow down the driveway, and then
it just
piles up in front of hers, so it's a bigger like you know, amount of snow for her to dig out of. So I was kind of like,
I actually love the winter weather, to be honest. I love when it's snowing outside. It makes you, like, when we were all kids, I think everyone was kind of excited about snow. I still feel that excitement. How about you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I do. It's something, where were we? We were sitting in, I think, North Maine, and it was just snowing out like crazy. We're out for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so beautiful.
It's a nice restaurant. It's got tons of windows. And as you look out those windows, you could just see all the snow blowing by. Yes. And it was like, wow, we're in here. It's nice and warm, cozy. Yes. But it was gold.
It was great. Yes. And even though
I think we're bringing it up because like the first time this year it's actually happened.
I know. We've been waiting for some good winter weather for quite a while. But I am also aware, you know, I hope everyone's safe, of course. Like I know for some others it's very problematic to have a lot of snow and ice.
For sure.
So always, you know, hoping everyone's safe.
Stay
out
safe
there.
And yep. You know,
and like, warm.
If that's, you can. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that's about all that's going on here in the cottage. Honestly, we've been having some good food, went to the gym,
worked out. Honestly.
It has been good. It has been a good weekend, and we're hoping to send that energy out your way. Hope you've had a great weekend, and a great day, whenever you're listening, you know?
Yes.
I always want to, like, sometimes I get caught up in, like, what currently our time is, and we're, like, it's, like, the afternoon, it's the weekend, and somebody's listening on Thursday going, like, well, you know what I mean? They're, like, Thursday's great.
Yep.
You know? And honestly, we're right there with you, because come Wednesday or Thursday, we're going to be, like, right back at it, but, yeah, it's nice too. Maybe we'll re-listen to this again ourselves on Thursday and think about it.
We actually do sometimes.
We do.
And, we'll
and
I think
to
that's
the
a good
weekend vibes.
Yes, true. And I think it's a good sign. I think I talked to Rika about this, about, you know, listening to your own voice, especially when you're the editor and you edit a lot and you have to keep listening to your own voice over and over again. And there's some parts that, you know, you hear and you're like, oh, why did I say that? But you get used to it, and I'm proud of our product, to be honest. I know there's things we can improve for sure, and especially, like, you know, I sometimes get super conscious about my language and how often I'm searching for words. But
yeah, no, I think you do a great job though too. I think most people, this is fascinating, they wouldn't even know. They would have no clue that English is your second language. You do such a good job with it. And Rika as well too. Like, that was like awesome.
Yes.
Having her on the show, and I thought, yeah, like, you know, things are really good. Like, most of us here, I'll speak for myself, can't second language is tough. Very tough.
It is.
So I'm very, 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 very proud of what you've done and accomplished.
Thanks.
And so yeah. But can I just real quickly, I don't think I've ever done this. I wonder how many people listening know how long I have been podcasting. And it's not that this is, I typically don't do these like all about, what's that over here? What's he getting into now? I just wondered because you brought up the whole point about listening to your voice.
Mm-hmm.
I have been editing my voice for 2016. So 4-8 years. So like 8 years that I've been doing some sort of podcast or project or whatever, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I wonder if people remember or know any of the projects. I wonder if there's somebody who could name the first project that I worked on. I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody who still listens from those days or, you know.
That'd be cool.
Send me a
DM. Us know if you've been there from the beginning.
Who's in the shadows listening to this? And I was like, I was there in 2016 and Ez was absolutely out of control.
The Rise of Skywalker.
The Rise.
I mean, it
well,
was actually.
Actually,
was.
That was.
I know.
It was before that. It was The Last Jedi is what we were covering. It was the end of The Force Awakens going into that. But
well, that also fits The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
Yep, you connected to the Force, and you were you figured out what you're capable of, and that you can do this, and you did. I'm always so proud of you that I just came here, and everything was already here, and you spent all these years researching and getting equipment and figuring it out, and I'm just
So I love it. I always wanted to put. I always think our we started this whole podcast off with like our kind of our love story, and you put out good vibes, good energy, and look what happened. Woo, man. all those years, worth it all. But I was the point was, editing your voice can be a little bit tricky and a little cringy at times.
The actual point was that we're still pretty happy with what we put out and the energy we put out, and still, you know, being aware of there's room for growth always, but.
Yeah.
Overall, very happy.
Oh, yes. And actually, I remember Rika sent us a message, which was like, hey, Wednesday, boom. Glad to see
She's
the episode
excited,
is
yes.
up, right? So we owl,
so good
like, what did I say?
I don't know.
What's going on with me today? I can't even get my words out. Okay. We are now, like, since the new year has started, more, I think, locked into our schedule.
Yes.
Because we are really counting down the days to a big transition in our lives, and then we're going to be, like, just bang, 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 bang. We're going to be getting out an episode, hopefully a week every Wednesday. Yeah. And I'm like super pumped about that.
Yes, me too.
So I just feel, I guess it feels good. I think we're sort of this weekend been reflecting, thinking about stuff, thinking about where we're going.
We got the stone rolling.
Yeah. And so the cameras are set up, by the way, which is a little nerve wracking.
Uh-huh.
It's a little nerve wracking. I'm looking at the camera right now and it's sort of like, what is going on? I'm here being recorded again, my face and stuff. I'm used to just being behind the microphone, not behind the camera. So
you're doing a fantastic job, though.
Well, thanks for carrying the good looks. I mean, Jamie to Christmas, it's like, you know. Yeah, no. So anyways, guys, we're pumped. And yes. We hope you're pumped. Yes. We hope you're off to a good year, a good start to this 2024. Four is Lottie's like favorite number, a lucky number. So it's going to be a good year. I can feel it.
Yes.
All right. Hopefully that luck will transition over into trivia training. Right?
For you? Oh, we'll see. Because you are lucky already. I always hope you can't really see my answers. Okay.
I'm looking at the StreamYard feed here and monitoring.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Everything to make sure that it does not fall apart. That's sort of my.
That is important. Thanks for doing that. No. I mean,
no, I know. But can we tell people what happened last night?
Oh yes. I'm gonna. Yeah. Once we get to it. Well, I'll tell them once we get to.
Okay. We'll wait. You hear that, friends? You have to wait. This is the teacher saying, oh, and we'll get there. All right. There's a lesson to be presented here. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, the first question is a review question. Let's see if you paid attention.
500 years. Nick, what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
The Ghost.
No.
Nearly Headless Nick was celebrating his 500th.
That's true. We asked you guys on YouTube, and most of you did really well in that.
Right, and I only remember it because it was last episode, I think. So.
Somebody, by the way, under the question, pointed out that he or she, I'm not sure what the handle was on YouTube, said... They read that Nicholas Flamel, Nearly Headless Nick.
One of the Nicks.
Right. That he said in the first book that he hadn't eaten solid food in 400 years. And then they changed it because that was an inconsistency because he was celebrating his 500th death day party.
Goodness.
And they had to go back in later episodes. They changed that. So we kind of have to look up in our, I don't know, do we have an earlier version of the book? If that still says, I haven't eaten solid food in 400 years. So that was kind of cool. I love learning that from
the lore of like edits and publishing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Cool.
No, the review question is, the Weasleys, the Fawcetts, the Diggorys, and the Lovegoods live near... Which village?
St. Ketchpole. Something.
Wow.
Was that St.?
That was really good.
On the outskirts or something of...
So St. Yeah, it's Ottery St. Ketchpole.
Ottery St. Ketchpole.
Pretty good. I just wanted to... Woo! I think it's such a cute name and I don't want to forget it, so that's why I put it in here.
Yeah. Got the St. Ketchpole down, but it's pretty ottery that I didn't remember that. It's pretty odd that I...
Think about Hermione. That. She's got an otter as her... as her...
Oh, yeah.
Patronus.
Patronus, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second question, this time I'll give you some options to choose from.
Thank God.
Who is the owner, unless you can tell me right away, who is the owner of Honeyduke's Sweet Shop?
Honeyduke's Sweet Shop.
Yeah.
The owner is Honey...
You want some options?
She ain't McNair. There ain't nothing Honeydukes about McNair. Jiminy.
What if he was?
Oh gosh, wow.
Yeah.
What if a Death Eater was running that though? That
I know.
Shop? Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Watch, probably is. I don't remember.
Like a secret, yeah.
Give me some options, please.
Okay. Is it A, Donegan Tremlett, B, Felix Summerby, C, Theo Butterscotch, or D, Ambrosius Flume?
Oh, you had trouble saying the D, so it makes me think it's not that, but I also thought that was it right away when you said it, so I'm going D. Am I wrong?
No, you are right. I couldn't fool you.
Oh,
I really tried to
stumble through the name, and
stumble through all of them. Yeah, Ambrosius Flume and his wife attended Hogwarts School in their youth, and... Ambrosius was taught potions by Horace Slughorn and became a member of the Slug Club.
Shut up.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought you would think that's interesting. I also, if you're wondering, who the heck is Donegan Tremlett?
Yeah, who is that? Who's
Donegan Tremlett is also someone in the wizarding world, and okay. He is the bassist of the Wizarding Band, the Weird Sisters.
Oh, the bass player. Yeah.
Oh, did I say? What
bassist.
Did I, bassist.
I don't know how you say it.
The bassist. What is a bassist?
I'm thinking bass fish. I was like, bass? Or he's the... I thought you were actually trying to say the baddest. I was like, baddest of what?
He's the baddest of them all.
He's the baddest of them all.
The baddest of them all.
Dun-a-dun-a-dun. Okay, so he's
the bass player.
Bass player. Yes. Cool.
The basilisk of the Weird Sisters. Felix Summerby was the wizard who invented the cheering charm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The one that Hermione missed, right?
That. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
And the last off... Theo Butterscotch is just an invention of me. So,
what was his first name?
Theo Butterscotch.
Guys, I gotta watch out. I gotta watch out. Lottie's inventing these names in her head. Who is he?
Oh, I was just going through
I'm just kidding.
The other two I found...
So he better be fiction. That's like...
The other two I found when I scrolled through all the characters that are on the chocolate frog carts.
Yeah. What was his name again? Theo?
Theo Butterscotch.
Theo Butterscotch. Okay. I'm just trying to save this for later so that way I can get in character. I just think it's funny. All right.
I'm unprepared. I need my book, by the way, for our next section.
Ooh, let's go. Go ahead and grab it there.
Can you announce the next section for me?
The next section is going to be my favorite section. This is the Fantastical Beast and Where to Find Them. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
I didn't even look at the doc. I was like, sometimes Lottie does this sort of like on the fly, like, hey, changing the lesson here. Gonna like take that segment
what
out.
You gotta do. You gotta stay flexible, right?
Right.
So this week we'll take a closer look at the Dirikol.
Okay.
And this beast is definitely prominent in Fantastic Beasts. Let me read the description to you.
Wait, can you spell it for me?
Yes, it's Dirikol, and people might know also from Hogwarts Legacy. Because I researched the Dirikol a little bit, and there was tons of tutorials how to keep the Dirikol in, like on a mission. You can.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think give that to a person, or you can keep it, and then I think it pops up in your Fantastic Beasts section in your common room or something in Hogwarts Legacy.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, and you've seen it before, right? Now you see a picture?
Yep.
Okay, let me read the description. So, the Dirikol has a classification of 2Xs, harmless, maybe domesticated. And the Dirikol originated in Mauritius. A plump-bodied, fluffy-feathered, flightless bird, the Dirikol is remarkable for its method of escaping danger. It can vanish in a puff of feathers and reappear elsewhere. The phoenix shares this ability, see below. Interestingly, Muggles were once fully aware of the existence of the Dirikol, though they knew it by the name of Dodo. Unaware that the Dirikol could vanish at will, Muggles believe they have hunted the species to extinction, as this seems to have raised Muggles' awareness of the dangers of slaying their fellow creatures indiscriminately. The International Confederation of Wizards has never deemed it appropriate that the Muggles should be made aware of the continued existence of the Dirikol. Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
We just, you know, in the Muggle world, I love when it's incorporated, like it could be actually existing in this parallel world of wizards and witches in our Muggle world that just call it dodos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they do though? Are they
if you remember, they
pop in and out, right? They can.
Yes, they can vanish, but then reappear in a different place.
Okay, so they can apparate.
Yeah, pretty much, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we see that in one of the scenes where I think you see, what other beast is there? Newt just shows us the inside of his.
Yeah, Jacob's walking through and we're seeing them. It's kind of a right panning shot of
He's
being toured through the suitcase.
I'm not sure though if they are there from the beginning in the first movie or if they're in Grindelwald's crimes.
Okay.
But yeah, they're definitely there and they're cute. Like there's a bigger one. And then those cute baby dodo or Dirikols are in there too. Just running around. So pretty cool. And what I thought though, they say in this book, it sounds like, wizards, they kind of reprimand muggles for doing that, for hunting, you know, animals to extinction. But we learn in Fantastic Beasts that wizards, they didn't really care about the magical beasts, especially in the United States.
Oh, it was terrible.
Remember when Tina was like, why do you care about your beasts so much? Mm-hmm. We don't do that here.
Yeah.
So, and that's why that was Newt's whole mission, was to teach wizards about that. But question, would you want to have or befriend a deer call?
I think if they were just around, I'm cool with it. They're fine. They seem pleasant, and they look kind of cute in Hogwarts Legacy, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure, but I don't know. I don't think, you know, I don't know. You're more of a bird person.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't really like birds that much.
I don't mind birds. I don't mind them.
Yeah.
It's just, I did watch a terrifying movie when I was young called Birds.
Oh.
Yeah, and they like go crazy and they're like attacking people. It's nuts. I think, anyways, I don't really remember. I was like not supposed to be watching it, and I did, which was not cool.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was, yeah, so I think just birds, and birds are beautiful. I love hearing them, you know, sing, mm-hmm. and but I just don't know. Some people have like a parrot, or they have, you know, what was your bird called? It was like,
we call them, what we learned in school, the translation for this word is budgie.
Budgie. Okay.
But I don't think you guys use it here. I think you would use parakeet, like a little parrot bird.
Okay.
Pet bird, like these little, they have like, they come in all kinds of colors, like yellow head and green feathers, or blue and white, or yellow and blue.
What was his name?
Charlie.
Charlie.
Charlie, yeah. Was one of them. I had multiple.
Oh my lord.
Anyway, I think they're cute, but enough about birds. I would probably keep one if they just popped up in my backyard and just wanted to stay there. But anyway, let's get to the summary of this chapter. And yesterday, I practiced really good to read the summary to you right now.
Yes.
'Cause yesterday, I probably read it like 5 times.
Yes.
And this was a great learning experience for Fleur, because I recorded but didn't record. And the recorder kept popping in and out, and something was wrong with the cable. So we exchanged the cable. Now it's working. And I got so excited. Let's go grab the microphone, read halfway through the summary. And then it was like, you're not recording. You didn't hit record.
Nothing's happening.
It's like, okay, let's do it again.
So let me.
Yeah.
I have over the years been made fun of because I always wear the headphones. Always.
You should.
I always wear them. Now, do you know why? What would have saved you yesterday? What? It probably kicked out in the first 30 seconds.
Yes, and I didn't hear myself.
You went on for 12 minutes recording that. Bless your heart. Bless your little heart.
I practiced.
You practiced. But you would have known in those 30 seconds to 1 minute, it's out. All of a sudden, you can hear the audio drop out. And you're like, wow, okay. But yeah, I had people before when we were just doing podcasts and we're in the same room. They're like, why? You know, even Lane was just like, I don't get it. My buddy Lane, who I do Up Talking Talking with at one point, was like, dude, what's the, you know, I don't get it. And then it was sort of like there's the locked in moment where you're wearing headphones. You're really locked into the person that you're talking to. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun if you ever get a chance to do podcasting. It's great. Love it. But I'll never forget the first time on Up Talking Talking when we lost audio and it just cut out. And I'm like, so I think I was wearing headphones. And I, like, he was talking, and I caught it, and I was trying to figure it out, and he was like, you know, then he made some joke about, like, me looking at it or whatever, and I was like, well, I know exactly, like, the timestamp, where we were at, etc. He's like, what happened? Audio, shut off, or memory card, full, or something, right? And so you can sense the change, you know it, you can make a timestamp, and you go back and do your edit. So I would never be criticized again.
You won't be by me.
All of that, like, oh, you always worry, you listen to audio lows, what's going on? Well, I'm trying to like make sure that like there's so many things that go wrong. People have no idea how many times like the video goes down, the camera shuts off, or all this stuff. They have no clue. They have no clue. Something just changed behind me.
It was just the background. It's actually really cool. Like the pictures in your background. All this to say, in the end, then I was super happy with it. Recorded it 5 times. I'm like, wow, we got it. It's recorded. Cool. And then I looked at you and I was like, why did I even do that? Mm-hmm. Totally forgot that now we're doing video version. Well, I only recorded the audio, so it's kind of useless. So
I mean, yep. We could just use the audio version. We'll see. We'll make a call here in post-production. We'll decide yep. what we want to do.
Yes.
But meanwhile.
Meanwhile. Chapter 18. Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs. Ron, Harry, and Hermione have just been told by Lupin and Sirius Black that Scabbers is actually a wizard named Peter Pettigrew. Harry and Ron silently agree that both Professor Lupin and Black are completely mad. Sirius Black wants to prove it immediately and lunges at Scabbers, but Lupin holds him back and insists that they owe the kids an explanation first. Hermione points out that there's no way that Scabbers, aka Peter, is an animagus, a wizard that can turn into an animal at will, because if he was, he would be registered with the Ministry of Magic and everyone would know. Before the two men can answer her, the door suddenly cracks open, but no one's there to be seen. Lupin even checks the landing outside the bedroom. Ron reminds them that this place is haunted, but the professor rejects this claim. He explains that the Shrieking Shack has never been haunted. Instead, it was built to keep him, young Remus, in his werewolf form at bay. He had to come to the shack every full moon so he wouldn't harm any of the students or staff. Back in the day, they didn't have a Wolfsbane potion to help keep his symptoms under control. So they planted the Whomping Willow to keep students from entering the secret tunnel that would lead to the Shrieking Shack, where Lupin went and turned into a monster every month. Lupin goes on to describe how in his transformed state, he would lose his mind, attack the walls and furniture around him, and even hurt himself. The Hogsmeade villagers heard the noises and began to think the place was haunted. But apart from monthly transformations, Lupin states he was happier than ever because he had found true friendship at Hogwarts. Peter, Sirius, and James were his best friends. Then Lupin admits something that absolutely shocks Harry. His father, James Potter, as well as his friends Sirius Black and Peter Pettigrew, became three unregistered animagi to accompany Lupin whenever he transformed into a werewolf. After all, he was only harmful to humans, not animals. In their animal forms, the four friends went on nightly adventures and roamed the castle, grounds, and surrounding areas, which inspired them to create the Marauder's Map. They signed it with their nicknames, Peter as Wormtail, Sirius as Padfoot, James as Prongs, and Remus himself as Mooney. Remus admits that it was still very dangerous, of course, and that he felt like he had abused Dumbledore's trust, the first wizard who had ever believed in him. That's why Lupin couldn't bring himself to tell Dumbledore that Sirius Black is an unregistered animagus. It would have meant that Dumbledore would find out about their risky and illegal adventures. And Dumbledore's trust has meant everything to Lupin, as it had changed his life. When he admits that Snape has been right about him all along, that he's a coward and shouldn't have been hired as a defense against the dark arts teacher, Sirius Black can't believe his ears. What is Severus Snape doing at Hogwarts? He's perplexed when he learns that Snape is now the potions teacher here. Black and Lupin tell the kids that Snape was one of their classmates back when they were at school, and that they were arch enemies, especially James and Severus. One time, Sirius played a prank on Snape, in which he sent him off to the Shrieking Shack even though he knew that Snape would find a transformed werewolf there, who could have hurt or even killed him. James risked his life against the Whomping Willow to stop Snape before he could get to the Shrieking Shack. But Snape had caught a glimpse of the transformed Lupin, and from that day on, he knew that Remus Lupin was a werewolf. Harry suddenly understands, and asks Professor Lupin if that's the reason why Snape doesn't like him, because he must have thought that Lupin knew about the prank. But before Lupin can answer, a snarling voice confirms Harry's guess. At this moment, Professor Snape reveals himself. He had been listening in on the conversation under Harry's invisibility cloak for quite a while. The potions master is armed with a wand and points it directly at Professor Lupin.
Dun, dun, dun. Holy. Now, things are getting pretty serious, okay, in this. And so before we dive into all of this seriousness, I thought we should take a step back real quick. And I want to ask you a couple questions before we start.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did Severus Snape stand in the middle of the road?
In the middle of the road?
Yeah.
Is that a joke?
So no one would ever know which side he's on. Oh, that's, man, that's ridiculous.
Where did you pull that joke from all of a sudden?
Well, here, I got one more for you. Why doesn't Voldemort wear glasses?
Because his nose wouldn't hold it because he doesn't have a nose.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Oh boy. Wow. These are bad.
Wow.
Why was Harry Potter sent to the office?
To the office.
Because he was cursing in class. Because he was cursing and saying bad words.
Okay.
Wouldn't you send somebody to the office if they were cursing in your class?
Yes.
They were just dropping a bunch of blank beep 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 beep. Yes. Yeah, you would. You would. And the last one, this is a classic. How does Voldemort enter a room? You should know this one. How does Voldemort enter a room? He slithers in. All right, now we can return to the chapter discussion.
Good jokes. Mm-hmm. What do you call them?
Those are dad jokes.
No, yes, we call them. Oh,
what
sorry.
Did you just?
Another, sorry, mic bump. I need to pay.
I'm going to get a jar.
Yes, we do have to get a jar. I like that. A jar with mic bump on it.
Yeah.
And a picture of me just bumping into the mic all the time. What do you call it? Schenkelklopfer. You know, you...
Knee slapper.
Knee slapper, yes.
That's an old knee slapper right there.
Great jokes. I have a question for you too, and for everyone out there.
Okay.
So... these chapters here, the last couple of three, four chapters, they're all, there's no, not a lot of time between them, but they all lead into the next moment. So moments ago, they just found out, okay, Peter or Scabbers apparently is a wizard, and Ron's reaction is just absolute disbelief. They're like, okay, they're crazy.
This is crazy.
So not only Sirius Black is a madman, but also Remus, he somehow went crazy. And I mean... understandable. What would your reaction be? And we kind of talked about this last time a little bit, but just imagine your most loyal pet that you have spent most of your years with, and somebody, I know it's not Sophie for you, I know you've had pets before, but you guys are listening and think about your most beloved pet.
Yeah.
And somebody just came up and told, a mass murderer, by the way, came up and told you this guy is...
Yeah, could you imagine?
Is or your animal.
Now, how long... Yeah,
Mr. Tibbles is...
Right.
Is actually the murderer here.
Yeah. This crime was committed not by Grindelwald, right? But by Mr. Tibbles. The room would be like, huh? Huh? Who's
right.
Mr.? Right? And then you find out.
Imagine if somebody told you Sophie is actually a crazy... Yeah. I don't know. Crazy lady that...
Dang.
Could turn into a human.
And she once like was out there in a far distant land or country and had committed some terrible crimes.
Yeah.
She's such a sweet kitty.
I know, she
There's
is.
There's no way. There's no way.
That's what Ron feels right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I think as we were listening to this chapter, I said to you in the car, I'm like, why, or how did I put that? We were talking about Scabbers.
Yeah.
And just the idea that he is... He lives with the Weasleys.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He lives with the Weasleys. He's been with them for however long.
12 years, yeah, almost.
Did he, I don't know, like, did he expect to come across Harry Potter? Did he think that was going to happen? Or was this the safest place for him? Did he think, here, I'm with wizards. It's comfy living. He just enjoyed it. Did he grow close to them, right?
Did he
start to enjoy the time there? Yeah.
Yes, as you're saying this, I just developed a little theory, mini theory.
Okay.
So he was with Percy, right? Mm-hmm. So how did he get to be Ron's pet all of a sudden? I mean, either it's just Percy got tired of him, wanted a cooler pet, and he just said, hey, here you go, Ron, I don't want Scabbers anymore. Or is it that Scabbers, aka Peter, was calculating or like lost a little track of the years and thought maybe Percy was Harry's age and hoped to meet Harry there, went to Hogwarts with Percy, and then he was like, oh, nope, Harry Potter's not here yet. Maybe I should, you know, when I come home, get more attached to Ron or Ginny. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it was Ron first.
And, God, it was Ron.
So... I don't
see many of it.
But what if he thought that?
I never in all of my Harry Potter reading years thought about Peter Pettigrew being Jenny's
pet. How
and
terrible.
How freaking like messed up is first of all, the whole thing that shows you he has nowhere to go. He has nothing. He is just, he's living terrible. I mean, yeah, I guess a Kush as best he could, but he's like stuck in this animal form. He can't even reveal himself.
Yes.
And so he's living with the Weasleys. I think Hermes was the owl that was got by Percy.
Yeah.
And then that is what sort of probably passed on Scabbers.
Yes.
But I like your idea that he still was in that family hoping to be at Hogwarts. Clearly, yeah. He went there where there was already a bunch of wizards who had been attending Hogwarts, and there's a chance to go back to a place that he loved to revisit those fond memories. And how often do you think, here's something, is Ron, Harry, Neville, Dean, Seamus, are they all sharing the same room that maybe the Marauders were sharing once upon
Could
a time?
Could be. You know, my goodness.
And you just think about, like, because I was thinking, what if there was ever a time where...
Yeah. And if they didn't, but they would still completely... They probably all look the same.
Yeah, it's still the Gryffindor common room. Him. And he's in there all the time, chilling out, probably thinking about those memories and those times with his friends, right? With James, Sirius... and Lupin. And I thought, before we were getting into the chapter discussion, and as we're riding around listening to the chapter, I thought, I wonder if there, this is crazy. This is what we try to do, all right? But I wonder if there's ever a time where Peter, like, everyone's asleep. Everyone is asleep. Harry's asleep. Ron's asleep. He's up there in the Gryffindor common room, and he sort of transforms into his own self, goes over to Harry's bed, and gets down and just maybe says, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or,
gosh,
forgive me, you know, or tries to somehow make amends. Could you imagine? Yeah. What a sad story.
Yes.
But at the same time knows, I can't be caught. I can't. Never could I do that.
Yes.
But did he ever think or feel that way? I don't know. Now, like, because I always wonder, would he ever have gone to Voldemort and helped him return if this doesn't happen, right? So the Weasleys win the money. They go to Egypt. Sirius sees the newspaper clipping, and then he says, oh my gosh, he's been there. He's going to hurt Harry. But he's had the opportunity to do so for 2 years. There's no way, right?
Yep.
He is good just chilling
comfortable.
Here.
Comfortable. He was a well-fed rat before this book.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't really... I think he was like, I'm good, right? Yeah. I've messed up. This is my penance.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going to be. I do think he was bitter towards James and Sirius and Remus a little bit. It seems like that when the way they speak about him in this chapter shows you that, like, he needed more help and he was the least of them,
right?
And McGonagall has the same sort of tone when she speaks about Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah.
So, and then imagine this. Let's just hold. Not that I want to go down this whole sympathy for Peter thing. Hashtag sympathy for Peter.
No, but there's so much room.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
For interpretation, now that we know he was with them the whole time. Yeah.
Right. Well, and so I'm thinking, imagine that you're in this meeting with the Marauders and it's decided. There's four of them in the room. They're all talking.
Mm-hmm.
And James, you know, says, hey, Sirius, you're the secret keeper.
Right.
Because everyone else knew that. Remus knew it. Peter knew it. Dumbledore knew it. Everyone knew that Sirius was the secret keeper.
Yes.
Which is kind of a crazy thing that everyone who was on that side, like in the order, knew that. That should have been just a secret between James and Sirius.
Exactly.
But, okay. So now what happens is Remus is out of the loop and it's Sirius and James talking and Peter is there and they're saying, hey, we know it's going to be better. We need to tell Peter. We need to make him the secret keeper.
Yes.
Did he want to be?
I know, right?
He was reporting information. He was leaning dark there. But does that not fully bring him... Does that not put him in a position of two options, which is like, you just put a target on my back.
Yes.
Right? Or I can turn this over to the Dark Lord.
Yep.
Right? I can go one of two ways. Either I'm a dead man. I've been marked.
Yes.
Or I'm going to turn this over to Lord Voldemort.
Yeah.
And That's what's sort of crazy to me. I think that's even maybe Sirius might think about that. James made him the secret keeper.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that.
Yes.
Right? So that was maybe their cover, is everyone's going to know. So they're going to come after. That's probably where he thinks he's protecting Peter.
Yes.
Is that everyone knows it's me.
And they chose the wrong man, because their strategy still could have worked with Remus had they chosen Remus instead. Because Remus wasn't the spy in this.
Right.
But,
exactly.
But
exactly.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was Sirius who said, let's change this, not Peter himself. So he didn't insist on that.
Yep.
He then would not have had any valuable information for Voldemort. That would also have been bad for him,
like,
probably.
What he might have been giving, or maybe he's, I feel like if it's like Peter Pettigrew, when I think about him during that time, I think he's caught in a back alley with some Death Eaters who are going to rough him up, and hey, what do you know about the Order? It's still kind of a civil thing, right? We're not going to capture him and bring him in, but we're going to shake him down for some information in Diagon Alley or Nocturne Alley, right?
Yeah.
And so he gives a few things here or there, and he's just trying to, like, oh my gosh, I can't ever go back down that alley again.
Right.
I'm good. And then his friends say, hey, guess what? The Dark Lord is seeking James Potter. We are now going to make you the secret keeper.
Right.
Now, don't worry. Everybody thinks it's serious. Peter's going, well, one, I'm already being, like, either he himself is giving that information to the Death Eaters, or he's being bullied into it and being found or whatever.
Yeah.
But he knows full well that Voldemort will track down Sirius, okay?
Right.
And could torture him. That could lead to Peter.
Yeah.
Could it not?
Yeah.
Could it not very easily lead from Sirius to Peter?
Right.
So if you're Peter, you're going, what in the world, guys? You just put me, the weakest of us, right?
Yeah.
The least of us. You gave me this great big responsibility. It's supposed to be kind of an honor thing, sort of, right? And you think he'd step up and take that, but that's not who you've had. I don't know. They just never treated him. It just seems like that.
Yes.
It seems like he wasn't treated as well, and he wasn't as close of friends, right?
Right.
It was really Sirius and James.
Exactly.
And then, you know, they were kind of, Remus was like happy to have made these friends as well. He was kind of on the outskirts, and then Peter was also like, hey, happy to be a part of the club.
Right.
So, and the club is really Sirius and James.
Yes.
Anyway, I don't know. Just thinking about it.
No,
tough
you're
position
right.
to be in.
Like and there's so much, like I said, so much to uncover. What did Peter think or do or feel in certain moments now that we go back? And 2 years he's had, I mean, I thought about this for so long. What did he feel? How did he feel when he saw Harry for the first time? Almost makes me want to reread that moment when Harry meets Ron, and is there any description of Scabbers doing a certain thing? But that must have been, you betrayed your best friend, that you're the reason why they're dead, and now you see you meet his son, who looks exactly like James.
Mm-hmm.
You see him again.
Yeah.
And the way that Peter's death is described later on makes me feel like he was somehow emotional in that moment. I just want to think that.
He totally, exactly. I mean, his actions, he wanted to help the son of James Potter.
Yeah.
He did. And he didn't strike at him. He didn't do anything to hurt him in year one or year two or even year three. And then basically he's found out, and he's like, all right, fine. Now I have to go back, you know, on the run. I mean, the moment he makes that big decision, I really think I really think he only did one or two things and just dabbled with those Death Eaters.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was shook down for information, bullied into it, found, cornered, blackmailed, whatever, gave a few scraps. And the big one is when they make him the secret keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's fearful for his life.
Yeah.
Right? Or something. It's war. They're in war, and he is now a target. The Dark Lord, there's a prophecy that someone will bring down the Dark Lord. They then say the people who are like this, their child is, they're in secret hiding.
Yep.
The secret keeper was Sirius. Now it's made Peter Pettigrew. It's just a crazy position to be in. And so I think he only did one or two things that were really kind of shady. Really, I don't think he was like super dabbling, and I don't think he was super really aligned and committed to the Death Eaters.
Yeah.
Right? I think these things are happening out of fear.
Right. Yeah. So I think a lot of fear and maybe spite, like spitefulness
towards
he was just, people always underestimated him and made him the least cool marauder.
Right. Right. I think that bit of information that's being given out by like the inside information, the traitor bit, that is either, yeah, as you say, coming from spite or coming from fear when he was cornered. Mm-hmm. But then the bigger one later on is the big betrayal. Really.
Yeah.
I feel like he could have recovered from the little bits and pieces where he got caught in a position, okay, Peter, whatever, or he was spiteful and we can forgive him. We're going to talk through it. It's still bad, still terrible. It's time of war. But then he goes and makes this, and there's no returning from it. And he sort of knows that.
Yes.
But I think in his heart, I feel like that's why him waking up in the middle of the night and transforming and going over to Harry and having a moment where he just says, I'm sorry. Yes. I could see it. I could see
even
it
if
happening.
Even untransformed, even if he just went over as his little rat form and just sat next to Harry for to have that moment that he just described. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I once we get to Deathly Hallows, once we get to that moment where he just hesitates for a second to make that final or to attack Harry, I think we could compare that maybe to an Anakin. Almost, not quite, because they're not like son and father, but like an Anakin comeback moment. Had he had the chance, maybe he would have turned around and
a redemption arc.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish there was more room for that to have happened, but Voldemort already suspected it, and that's the other, I think that the reason why he can't go back and he can't go against Voldemort is he's basically hampered by the spell work. Of the Dark Lord, and so he's going to be killed.
Yeah,
he knows he's going to be killed.
Yeah.
At any moment where he sort of betrays or shows mercy to Harry Potter, and it happens.
Yeah,
so which is his redemption.
Wow,
crazy as it is.
Yeah, we need more. We all know it. We need more Marauder stuff. And
yeah, we do.
But in that moment, again, like Ron and Harry just learned, or even Hermione too.
They all
but
do want to run, by the way, just so you know.
Yes, right. They ran. They just ran out of the Shrieking Shack, and here we go. So what's going on in Harry's and Ron's mind? We kind of catch that glimpse of them. They just look at each other, and they're like, yeah. Like if you, I don't know, you probably didn't see that. If you didn't watch YouTube, then they just did the whole you're crazy kind of movement. Yeah. And
the mind, which you've seen before in your class, right?
Absolutely. No.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not really.
Frau Kirk's up there teaching. As soon as she turns around, there's two boys in the back. They're like, this is crazy.
No, they have not.
I'm kidding.
But what Ron and Harry are thinking in this moment, what I'm thinking is like, yeah, like you said, yeah, right. They're crazy. While Hermione, I feel like, because she's not mentioned, she's not part of that exchange where they look at each other. So I think Hermione's over here and in her analytic mind, she goes through the logic possibilities of the claim that Scabbers is Pettigrew in Animagus form.
Mm-hmm.
So she, I think she's analyzed, can this even be true?
Is it possible?
That's, yes. Yeah. And that's why she says, well, I have read this. So like, and she, and it's said in a very calm voice. I think that's what brought her back into her less panicky, more, her student analytical mind.
Yeah.
Where she just asks Professor Lupin really a question like, Professor, there is only 7 registered animagi in the last 100 years, and Peter is not one of them.
Right.
And because she read about it with Professor McGonagall being one of them, animagi. And well, that's when right before they can answer, there is a little moment of hesitation because they heard a noise. And the door opened up.
Mm-hmm.
Later, we'll learn at the end of this chapter, this was the moment when Snape came in under the cloak.
Yeah.
And the kids, they just dismiss this moment. So Lupin even goes out, checks. What was that? Because Lupin knows full well this place is not haunted. The kids think, oh, it's just a ghost or whatever. Yes.
Like, never had there been a better moment for Revelio. I mean, straight up. Like, you know... They know it's not. Remus, of all people, knows it's not haunted. So something moved that door. They're wizards.
Right.
They should have looked into this more.
But he was so distracted. Yes. In the moment. And they need to make sure Peter isn't escaping.
Got to keep your eye on that rat.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to keep everything together here.
Yeah.
But that we, in the chapter when we were listening to it, now this is the moment when Snape enters the room and the conversation about Peter being the actual murderer,
mm-hmm.
and Sirius and Peter's roles are switched, and Peter being a rat,
mm-hmm.
that's all that is over. That conversation is over.
Yep.
Snape didn't hear the most important part of the conversation. And now the rest of what he's listening to, and that's why he comes to the wrong conclusion, is only Lupin just telling his story, basically, and his friends became animagi for him.
Right. It's all just backstory that Snape hears and thinks, yeah, okay, I know that. Yeah, they're retelling the story. Mm-hmm. Let's hear this out. I'll catch him right at the moment. See if they actually tell the story. Yeah. Why does he wait? You know,
why does he wait to hear the story?
Yeah, you think about that. Snape just stands there in the corner under the invisibility cloak and waits to hear. Again, he's trying to figure out. He's there at moment notice. Right? He can disarm anybody whenever he wants. He's very, very, very powerful. So the fact that he sits there and waits, he wants to see who Remus Lupin is.
Yes.
Remus wasn't the bully. He's always been intrigued by that. He was the werewolf. He understands, you know, somewhere deep in there, I think Snape understands that they were befriending him, and that was the misfit that they took in. Snape is not the misfit that they took in. Snape is the misfit that they targeted and that they bullied, right? Because he's in Slytherin, and this misfit, Remus Lupin, was in Gryffindor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference, right? And he stands there to wait to see what Remus is going to deliver and how Sirius is going to react. Anyway, I just think that is actually a fascinating thing that he stands there and hears the story unfold. Also, longest storytelling ever, by the way. This started a chapter ago, and Sirius has been like, get on with it.
I know. You kind of feel his tension is building up. Like, get a move on.
12 years! He's waited.
In Azkaban.
So I want to back up real quick just on the unregistered animagi, right? So the idea that we have unregistered animagi doesn't cross Hermione's mind because she doesn't break rules by nature.
Yes.
That's something she's been guided into by Ron and Harry a little bit. She gets more ambitious, I guess, leans into the rule breaking more as the school years go on.
Yeah.
But her natural state is to not assume that. Right?
Yeah. So, and maybe it's also, maybe she envisions more of a process of getting your driver's license. Why would you do that unguided and unaccompanied by an agency or
she
someone who
dangerous.
Teaches you, right?
True. Yeah.
Like, that would be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the point is, if they can guide Peter Pettigrew, who, according to everyone, was the least and struggled and was sort of a misfit as well that they took in, how is it then that there are not more? I believe there are. Well, we know Rita Skeeter is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Later on, isn't she unregistered? She's an unregistered.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are more, and there are plenty more, and it's just from the perspective of children reading that in a book. It's like, okay, there's only 7 who have actually registered.
Yep. Right.
But people have people have theorized that Dumbledore himself is one.
Could be one.
Right.
Right.
And that many other people actually are, and that it's just sort of a more common thing than we think. That people just do in their backyard, you know, under all sorts of protections, and they're good. Because there doesn't seem to be a way for the ministry to track that you've done it, and there's no alert that goes off that this is you,
right,
or whatever. So, and there are plenty of fantastic and magical beasts out there that if you transform, if you go through that whole process, like, you can kind of blend in.
Yeah.
And there's nothing odd about a special dog, like, you know, he's a black dog, but, okay, we have other magical dogs and you know, pets or whatever for wizards and witches, so he doesn't stand out too much.
Yeah.
Unless you knew that he was a murderer and he was on some registry and you were looking for his specific markings, then you would go and kind of figure that out.
Right.
You would be able to spot
exactly.
Him
yeah,
easier.
Yeah. They have They have the markings there. It's interesting that the Marauders map, somehow they figured out a magic to uncover the animagi. Would they see only themselves because they knew each other? Could they? That's why they could include each other on the map, and only, like, our theory was that maybe only the Marauders can see each other in Marauder form. In a Magi form, on the map. So could they see Professor McGonagall when she was a cat?
Oh, you mean on the map? Does the map have the ability to see McGonagall when she is in her Animagus form?
Yeah.
It probably,
okay.
Well, I don't know though. That's interesting. So that's a good bit of magic. Cause it is sort of I feel like when you're turning into your Animagus form, you're going stealth.
Yeah.
You're kind of trying to, but like, again, when you put on the invisibility cloak,
that still doesn't,
you're still trying
anything,
to go stealth
right. Yeah.
And it's still solid. So that's where I think the Marauders map does really show. You know, sometimes when we do our How Powerful videos, we're like, how powerful is James Potter? It's like, well, I think he might have led the way on that Marauders map as well as Sirius. They are. Remus attributes all of this credit to them. They were the most talented. They figured out how to become Animagi. They figured out the Marauders map. I mean, he's sort of in werewolf form. Like, he's not in his right mind exactly as they're going around and doing all of their exploring of the Hogwarts grounds. Right. So it's really, you know, it's James and Sirius tracking all of that as well as Peter. But but I feel like those two are the leaders of that group, and the power of the Marauders map, it's a good testament to how powerful Sirius and James are.
Agreed.
Really.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and it's just interesting that no one else figured that out, how to spot Animagi in their Animagi form, right?
Yeah, but we don't know. You know, what's interesting too is the map would not give you a clue as to whether or not they had turned into an Animagus, because it clearly didn't with Peter.
True.
So if Dumbledore is actually switching in and out of his Animagus form up in his office, like Fred and George or nobody else would really know. They would just still see him walking around and pacing and stuff. So
I like that.
But I like the idea that maybe, they're... I don't know. How much magic went into figuring all that out and to make sure all those things were kind of covered?
Yep.
So.
Very interesting topic. And while Lupin is kind of reminiscing, and I think right now in this moment, he just has to get all of this stuff off his chest, because to him also, that's a crazy moment that he just learned his friend he trusted and I think he couldn't believe that Sirius would do such a thing. He knew how loyal Sirius was. I think it was very hard to bring himself to believe that Sirius would do such a thing. But he considered it as the truth. That's what everyone said, that Sirius killed Peter. That's why he was imprisoned. Yes.
And what helps, I think, is that, like, what doesn't help, I should say, is that Sirius's family, right, they're known to be Slytherins.
True.
They're known
almost
sort of,
like, okay, he now revealed his true nature. Yeah.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. So sort of this side of his family that he often hid, it was really there all along. And that's where Remus, I think, dips into that, what everyone else is kind of thinking. He's like, well, I don't really have anything to kind of, you know, dispute that. My gut is telling me that, no, this is not him. There's no way.
Yeah.
Right? There's that's such trickery. I can't imagine someone could do that.
Yeah.
And I think he probably, as he's reflecting on it, thinking, there was plenty of times where I felt like maybe Peter was bullied or pushed around or boxed into doing things.
I think he would see that more than the other two because he was, feel like he would be more reflective of those things. Yeah.
So he sees Peter on the map and then he says, okay, wow, he's alive, which is you know, contradicting everything that's going on with the whole story, right?
Yeah.
And then the first thing he says to Sirius when he walks in is, you switched.
Yeah.
You switch because he knows he's a very smart and intelligent wizard. Yeah. He's like, someone gave the Potters up.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't Sirius and Peter's
alive. Yeah. And he didn't reveal himself. Yes.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
It's a lot to piece together, but he's the one intimate and close enough to kind of like quickly figure that out. And
conclusion. Yeah. And in all that rush, he forgot to take his potion. Yeah, what a terrible though. What a terrible description when Remus says because he went to the Shrieking Shack, there was no one around, so he couldn't harm any humans. He harmed himself.
Yeah, right.
So
it's awful.
Sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah,
and to try to lighten all this serious mood we have going on. Okay, might go back to the dad jokes, and it's gonna be more of a narrative.
Yeah.
What was said is that the reason they went to become Animagi is that werewolves would not hurt other animals.
Right.
Right. So if you're prongs, you're good. Right. If you're padfoot, you're good. Your wormtail, solid.
Even as a rat.
Right. No worries, man. Come on in. You're fine.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of my cat Sophie and all of those skunks and raccoons and possums that come up from the,
they're a gang. They're like, ganging up.
Right. If I can walk into my dad's garage and I can see Sophie sitting chilling with the local skunk, no problem. That skunk is not skunking that garage. It doesn't smell until I walk in and then it's like,
get
this
guy.
Away. Right. So that's the werewolf, right? Which is like, see a human, got him.
Yeah.
Right. And it just makes me, it's just kind of funny. Like, yeah, in the animal world, we're good, right? We're all good here, right? You don't need your defense mechanism is not needed here. We're safe.
Sorry. Yeah, like the werewolf's prey really is humans. Mm-hmm. And that's why humans are so afraid of them. That's why Ron's reaction is often a good example of how the wizarding world, how things are perceived in the basic
they
like
hunt
in the
humans.
Society, right?
That's it.
And Ron's like, get away from me, werewolf, last chapter. So,
right.
I was trying to figure out if, I feel like it was mentioned somewhere, is Bill later mm-hmm, on, mm-hmm. he never really fully transforms into a werewolf, but he definitely...
Yeah, he
develops wolfish
tendencies.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he takes his stake on the rare side, right?
He's exactly, especially on the full moons around.
Right, right.
But does he maybe take the wolfsbane potion as well to help with those symptoms?
He might. Maybe there's a lower dose or something more simple that you take. But it feels like he definitely did take something after the attack, and that's what Remus couldn't take because he doesn't fully transform.
Right.
He doesn't need to lock away or you know,
true,
whatever. But
true.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if he took something just to help the
Yeah, almost like
something.
A milder version yeah. of it. Yes.
A little ibuprofen, Tylenol, yeah. a little something for the headache.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. So okay, so in the midst of this chapter, it's again just the longest story. It's all the build up. This is where it's revealed that Dumbledore's trust was super important to Remus, and he really felt like he, if he would have told Dumbledore, he lets him down. And he said, "This is the chapter where he reveals that, where he's like, you know, he let me. This is the man who stood up for me, let me come to Hogwarts, built a shack for me, right?
Right.
Built a whole shack,
planted a tree,
right? That womps anybody that tries to get to the shack." Which is crazy. So how did he get in? Well, how did he get in there, right? How does he get in there originally?
Well, Sirius says to Snape, you can just take a stick and kind of push that button that will turn off the Whomping Willow.
Right. Someone can just press it, but you have to get close enough to do it. So you need a long...
If Snape could do it, though, I feel like Remus could do it then, too.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a little awkward. Moment, you know, just got to get your... I mean, imagine if you're in the castle and you're looking out. What is this kid doing out here with a long stick trying to get in? Where is he going?
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy. But it's also after dark. Maybe nobody's, like, looking. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the whole point is Dumbledore trusts him and sets up a way in which he can come, do all of his magic training.
Right.
And he encourages the rumors about the Shrieking Shack there in Hogsmeade to help out the situation. What Dumbledore doesn't know is that three wizards decide to become animagi.
No one knows how to say it, so we just confidently say it however we want.
So three wizards decide to become animagi, and they are Remus's friends. And it's that friendship. He didn't want to like turn them in. And at the same time, he's happy to be here. So he's kind of caught in this tough spot. They went ahead and did this, and he enjoyed it. Best times of his life, I think, right? And then now as a professor, I did a short on this recently where he has the option to tell Dumbledore all of those things and he doesn't. It's all coming out now. All the truth is coming out now. But now there's this extra piece with like Pettigrew and Sirius's innocence and all this kind of stuff too.
So it worked out for Lupin in the end, but still in the moment,
right.
Was that the right thing to do? And he says, I am a coward. He has a very... Unfortunately, not a very high opinion of himself, and I think he's a very hurt soul.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, so there's still a loyalty to his friends, right? Mm-hmm. So Peter Pettigrew shows cowardice a little bit,
a big bit
when he turns over the Potters, right?
Yes.
But Remus here shows it in a different way, where in which it's just like he doesn't want the opinion of him or during Hogwarts, his friends. He wanted to stick up for them, and so he doesn't want to report that.
Yeah.
And then now when the school is in jeopardy of a mass murderer entering the building, he's still, something is telling him no, and it's this bit with like Dumbledore and all the trust, and like he brought
so
me in
grateful.
Here now to be a professor and stuff. And like I think he's racking his brain to kind of say, like, is Sirius actually clearly he knew.
Yeah.
They're describing the slashes, like this dog, and like he transforms and he's Sirius Black. I mean, he knows that he's an animagus, and so he's coming in that's wild,
right?
That he doesn't say anything about it, and that he got that close to Harry and Ron,
right,
and almost could have killed him from from, yes. And everyone is always just like, well, he would never have done that. Sirius would have never done that. It's like, no. Yeah. During the, in the moment, Remus does not know.
He
believes he's a mass murderer and has no reason to think that he's innocent. And so it's just wild that he doesn't turn him in.
Exactly.
And that's what this whole chapter is him explaining that to Harry. I messed up. I was wrong, and I should have. So, yes.
I vote for, if we ever get our Marauders series that we all want, I think it should be told from Remus' point of view.
You think so? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's just my opinion.
Why do you think so? What do you think would make good, like, why would that be the best?
Because I think if you tell it from, like, I mean, you could also choose more neutral point of view, of course, but I think if it was from more like James and Sirius perspective, they're too in the moment to, like, oh, we think we're the coolest. I think Remus would be that character who would seize everything from a different perspective. And he's also not Peter who just, I mean, we could also, I mean, we said Peter is also a very intriguing character. And we want to know more about his arc.
Yeah. So I would say too. Yeah. So one of those two, Sirius would be interesting because of his family and the strife that he has there. The least history, likely would be James Potter.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes you want a character that's relatable and that has some sort of conflict or something that we can. It doesn't need to be like, oh, well he's a werewolf. How can I relate to that? Well, calm down. All right. So I'm making a joke. I can relate to it, all right? Because I'm part werewolf as well. But what I mean is that, like, you have, you're able to relate to people's hardships and stuff like that, right? Or some of their struggles. Mm-hmm. And we connect to that and we can find sort of...
And Remus is the piece, like we learned just now, he's the piece that holds them, or that's why they all decided to become Enemy Magi. In the first place, right? To help him.
Yeah,
and everything kind of revolves around him at the beginning.
Right.
A little
bit. Yeah, they become the Marauders because of Remus.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So he should be the point of view that we center on. Not that we can't bounce around to other
characters,
but still.
Shows nowadays are really cool when they have these different story arcs and then they're all coming together. But I feel like, you know, you always have the feeling of one of them is the main story arc.
The center, yeah.
And I would hope that'd be Remus's.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. So, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
any other, what else you got? I mean, thoughts on this chapter? Because I feel like it just sort of, once we get to that point where the story is being told, the big drop on Harry is that his dad saved Snape.
Yeah.
And Sirius is kind of like, Sirius is still very dismissive of this whole thing, sort of like,
yeah, whatever. He's whatever. Like, yeah, whatever, I don't care.
But you know, one thing that as I was listening, I thought was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Sirius does not realize that he put Snape, a human, very close to his good friend, Remus Lupin, who was a werewolf and could have killed
him. Oh, I know. Terrible, so actually, you think, for Remus, too. Yeah.
Exactly. Everyone thinks, like, oh, that was against Snape. The immaturity here is that he doesn't realize that his friend, Remus Lupin, would have committed that murder. And would have, like, been investigated. The whole thing would be over. Everything's done.
Yeah.
So Sirius is kind of like not thinking. That's why James comes through and is the level-headed, like, clear one. And you know what I'm saying? So, like, Sirius makes that mistake back then. I think he makes a mistake again.
Yeah.
When he says, let's go with Pettigrew.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think he does. And I think, like, that's tough. But he's the one who's risking people's lives.
Good point. He doesn't think things through. Yes.
Right. He just thinks, oh, we played a good one on Snape. Or, oh, whatever. If Snape gets killed in there, who cares? No, your friend. Everything's over now, Sirius.
Yeah.
Like, now Remus is, like, expelled and, like, put in Azkaban and
all
this stuff.
Fun,
like,
you
are you
had,
kidding? Yeah. It's a joke. It's so crazy. Sure. And again, they're kids, but who had the level head? James Potter did.
He did.
Right?
Yes.
And he's like, this is dumb. I got to go do something. Like, Sirius, what are you thinking? So, anyway. Yeah. This seems like more of that. It's so weird because in the film, we see James Potter really being sort of that antagonist or bully to Snape. But it feels like he's egged on by Sirius more than anything, too, possibly. We don't really see Sirius, his role in it. And we hear about it right here with this big prank. Mm-hmm. Not good. Not cool.
Yeah. I can totally see, like, a lot of Sirius's family history and flashbacks and more home life part of this Marauders series that is mainly told from Remus' point of view, but then these extras with Sirius's home life that we maybe not get too much from Peter's home life. Or
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
James is too much. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, James then later on Sirius will go to James's house, but it's for sure. It's going to happen. I know it. Everyone knows that's the biggest one that they need to make.
Yeah, that would be.
And that's full of potential.
Lore and connections and hidden gems for sure. They're going to do it at some point. I can't wait. You do have one final sort of question here to kind of lead us out of this, right? I think you've got a feeling or a question about Peter that I think is good.
Okay. Similar to we were thinking about Peter this whole time. What was he feeling in certain moments when he saw Harry for the first time? And now Peter is captured by Ron and his hands trying to get away, but he's forced to listen to Remus walking them through the story of the Marauders. So I was wondering what Peter's feeling in that moment. Is he hurt because he was always the least popular mm-hmm. of the Marauders, mm-hmm. or is he more sad and, you know, because he ruined everything kind of through his betrayal?
It's a crazy thing. I'm wondering if as he's listening, like he wants to interject and if he wants to say something. First of all, just wants to get away.
That's I think so too.
If I can get out of here, get away, like stay in my rat form, I can slip through the cracks just like I've done before. I'll get away, like he did with Sirius.
Run to
before.
Another country if I must.
Yeah, he's bested them, and he's being as small as he is, he's mm-hmm. like stealthier, right? He's able to get through. More difficult to capture.
Yeah.
So I would say the other tactic he could have taken is transformed, confirmed that he's alive, but then come up with his own sort of like what I mean. The moment he does transform, he's guilty, right? He's guilty. So he's trying to hold on to that like with everything he has.
Yes.
But I almost wonder if he wasn't arguing or wanting to add to some of the story that mm-hmm. Remus is mm-hmm. saying and wanting mm-hmm. to kind of put his own bit in there that like this there's more to this Marauder story than you guys know,
right?
And I feel like I'm on this sympathy for Peter tour, you know, but I mean it's just like I just feel like there would be more that he would want to add and stuff. So I don't know. I guess
I'm okay with being known as the podcast who always takes the underdog or the people who get the least sympathy from everyone and just tries to understand them, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, wait, guys, wait until we get to Umbridge.
Are you kidding me? Do you really? You have sympathy?
Not really. She might be the one character that's very, very. There will be. Yeah, I'm gonna have a hard time finding something. But
right.
Who knows? I'm very excited to reread Order of the Phoenix. But
yeah. Because we've done it for Vernon Dursley, Petunia.
We have.
Right?
We've done the impossible already.
We've done the impossible. But I would say most people would say we should do a poll. Like, who's worst kind of... Like, if you had to pick the worst, is it Umbridge or Aunt Petunia or Uncle Vernon? Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. take a couple of them and throw them up there and see what we get.
But. Yeah. Let's do it.
Anyway. All right, friends. That's really kind of the chapter. It's a short chapter this week, so... We'll continue on here. We get to the end there where Snape just, I think the next chapter starts off with, the disarming charm, right? He's pulled out his wand. He's got it pointed right at Remus.
Most important spell in this series.
Ba-boom. He has taken those wands. So, yeah. But all right. That is it. It's also mad time. I've been killing this coffee.
You probably have to go to the bathroom.
Oh my goodness. I'm thinking about these characters in the Shrieking Shack going like, did anybody have
when was the last
one
time
it's
they
cold one it's cold
anything.
You know, they're terrified. The story is taking forever from Remus, and I'm just sort of like, guys, I gotta go. Like, come on. And Ron actually says, like, I'm getting out of here.
Sits there with a broken leg.
It's crazy. I can't. She's tough. Anyway, all right. Hey, thank you guys so much, though. We appreciate you. We appreciate the messages, by the way. If you are enjoying the podcast and you haven't reached out and you want to, send us a message at Fleur and Bill. Honestly, that would be really cool. I think Lottie and I would love just to hear from some of you who are listening.
Yes.
And just a quick sort of, hey, I'm listening and I'm keeping up to date, because then we feel even this more energy to kind of go, okay, week by week, we got people like, ba-boom, let's go.
Yes. Everyone who is sending it, thank you so much. It always makes our day, and we're ready to go for the next episode and love reading your thoughts on the show, really. Yeah.
Well, for sure. And also, we've got a huge, when we look at the numbers too, we've got people who have started the podcast way back on the on the front end and are kind of catching up. So when you get to this point in the podcast, reach out.
We'd love you guys to in the future, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years from
now.
We
just did like a time turner thing right there. Except for It's not just by a couple hours. It's maybe months.
Yep.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, friends. Thanks for joining us here in Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope that you will join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people. Don't be like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Baboons.
And if you don't miss out on the next episode, future episodes, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You'll find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you to Luna and back. On our next reread episode, we will continue our journey through Harry Potter in the Prison of Azkaban with Chapter 19, The Servant of Lord Voldemort. So make sure you tune back in next time, and until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks so much for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.